Welcome to the Scary Movie Project, where darkness meets delight. We review the creepiest films, from classics to new fright. We dive into haunted places, the eerie, the unknown. So grab your popcorn and don't watch alone. From the supernatural tales to the shadows that creep, we're your guide through nightmares that'll haunt your sleep. Tune in, if you dare, to the horrors we dissect. You're in for a thrill on the Scary Movie Project.
Hey everybody, this is the Scary Movie Project, that podcast where we talk about scary movies. I'm Tara.
And hello, I am Matt. And a child shall lead them. A young couple is trapped in a remote town where a dangerous religious cult of children believes that everyone over age 18 must be killed. From the author of Carrie, The Shining, The Dead Zone, and Christine is an adult nightmare. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen King's Children of the Corn, which is Tara's new favorite movie.
Yeah, you're clearly more excited about this movie than I am.
I don't love it, but I like it.
Whew. Okay. This movie, guys, 1984. It was directed by a gentleman named Fritz Kirsch, if I'm saying that right. I hope I am.
Sure.
But it was his first movie, and I can tell.
And you were hoping it's his last.
And yeah, he's done some other things since then. I don't think a lot, but yeah, this was, yeah, not my favorite.
Okay.
I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. Unlike many of our other movies we've done so far.
Right,
I do not love this movie.
That's okay.
So let's dive right in, shall
yes,
we?
Please.
Let's get this over with. Wait, let me have a drink of my cocktail so I can get ready to get through this movie with you.
Yikes, all right.
Okay, and we open on corn.
Corn!
Corn, guys. There's a lot of corn, and apparently they're in a drought. And my first thought is, what the fuck? This is narrated by a kid?
Now you have to have liked the first like 5 or 10 minutes of the movie, right?
Well, here's the thing. I think the stuff with the kids is better than the stuff with the adults.
Okay.
Okay. So we go through the thing with the diner,
right?
And the kids there with his dad, right?
Yeah
the kids there with his dad, and like basically there's like the guy in the kid in the white hat, the black hat outside,
Isaac.
Who nods at the weird redhead.
Isaac.
Yeah, that's Isaac, and he nods at Malachi, the weird redheaded teenager.
Yes, Malachi.
And then you see the waitress drop powder in the coffee, and you're like, what the hell is going on in this cafe, dude? Like, what's happening here? And everybody, all the grown-ups, get slaughtered by
the
teens.
They're like, great coffee. And then like a minute later, like, ah, and they all
die.
Yeah,
and then everybody's dead. So that's fun.
That's why you shouldn't drink coffee.
That's fun. And then the opening credits, I kind of thought it was cool. The opening credits were like the pictures that the little sister,
yeah.
I think her name's Sarah?
I think
Yeah,
so.
The little sister Sarah draws.
Yeah.
She's psychic, and so she draws the pictures of like what's happening. So that was kind of fun.
Let's be honest, any drawings little kids make are scary, right? So
right, they're creepy.
Yes.
My short film, actually, we did the opening credits with the children's drawings.
I love it.
I hadn't even seen this movie, so I didn't know that I was echoing this movie.
Like, you knew it was scary. That's right.
But I knew that kids' pictures are creepy.
Yes, that's right.
So we can agree on that, me and this movie, me and this director. and then we meet the couple, Bert and Vicky, the adult couple, who are going to end up in this town. And he's just...
Sarah Connor.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say
yes,
Sarah Connor.
Yes, indeed. She is... wasted on this movie. I mean, she's not a great actress.
So this was the same year she made the original Terminator, right? 1984. Isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah, original Terminator is great. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I think it is.
But I mean, come on, Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 is like kick ass. Sorry.
She kicks ass. And
yeah.
She's kind of just like,
yeah,
in this.
Whatever.
And like, and Bert is okay, but like he can't act. I mean,
no, they're not great.
He's not a great actor at all. And so, yeah, we meet them. He's just become a doctor. They're like on their way to where he's going to work and everything. And we find out that it's Bert's birthday, which like, I don't know why we find that out. That was like nothing to do with anything. I guess it was just a way for them to like build some of their relationship, yeah, which they didn't really bother to do for the rest of the movie. So who knows why they did it then, but they did.
Which is a mistake every film makes. You have to like your characters, right? There you go.
Yes. You have to like your characters. And then, one of the kids runs away right from the town.
Talking about the scene where they, yep. That is,
yeah,
right.
The little kid runs away and he gets stabbed, but then Bert and Vicky are like driving through the back roads and driving through the corn and they run over him. Mm-hmm. So when Bert goes to look at him, he's like, something ain't right here.
Right.
And so he's like, they end up like taking the kid and loading him into the trunk and like taking his suitcase that he had and trying to drive to find a phone
and then, of course,
a town sheriff or something.
Right. Because Bert knows something's fishy because the kid's throat had been slit. And he's like, okay, this kid just was attacked, and he happened to stumble out into the road. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what happened. He was basically dead, really, basically he, dead as it was anyway.
But I love it. He does say that at one point. She says something like, "Did we kill him?" And he's like, "He was dead when he stumbled into the road." But he says he was dead when he stumbled in the road. And I'm thinking, then how'd he stumble into the road?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah. Come on, dude.
And he's doing his best.
You're a doctor.
Right.
You're a doctor. You know when a dude's dead, just stumbling. He's not dead yet.
He's doing his best to justify what happened. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So they take him. They're trying to get to, like, the next town. Meanwhile, like, the kids are, I don't know, doing whatever they're doing. The little kids are playing in their Monopoly in their old house. Job is the kid who has done the voiceover. And he and his sister Sarah are playing in their old house. They get caught by Malachi because they're not supposed to.
Right.
Whatever.
And that was the kid who at the beginning was in the coffee shop with
his
dad.
Was in the diner. Yeah, that's who's
killed
that's
all
who's,
the adults. Right.
Yeah, so right. He's the kid who we hear his voiceover like throughout this, which is one thing I really don't get about this movie. Like, okay, so there's a movie here that is about Job and his little sister Sarah, mm-hmm, that is narrated by Job. And then there's a movie that is about the adults, Bert and Vicky, who stumble into this town, mm-hmm, that's just kids, right? And they're two, it's like they're making two movies and mushing them together. Like, they're two different points of view, and they don't jibe to me.
Two different storylines that never kind of connect and seem to be totally separate at all times.
Yeah, I just don't. And they put them together a little bit at the end, but I don't understand why we got both points of view. It didn't seem like a decision that was made for a purpose.
So I can say, I'm not going to ruin anything, because if you haven't read the short, Children of the Corn. Okay, we'll.
I mean, we are going to ruin everything, guys.
Well, I'm not going to ruin. You know what? Just not the movie. But when it comes to like a story, the movie, I don't want to ruin literally everything.
Yeah.
Should I jump into the what it's based on right now, or do we want to talk about that at the end if I can talk?
You want to talk about that after?
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine.
Let's see if we can slug our way through the rest of this.
It answers some of your two story questions. So whatever.
Okay. So Bert and Vicky are heading for the nearest town. They stop at this gas station. I love the old man
ain't
there.
Got
he
no
says,
gas. Yeah.
"Ain't got no gas. Ain't got no diesel fuel.
Right, right.
Don't buy no gas. Can't use no restroom." I like him. I do enjoy him. So there we go.
He's
I found something that I love
in
this. In
like 20 miles.
Yeah, and they're going to go to Gatling because it's where the kids are, their little town, because it's only a few miles away. But
right.
He tells them, don't go there. You know, it's just religious folk. They won't be no help. Like, just go to the next town that's 19 miles away.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the name of that town, though.
I don't either. Whatever town that is. And so they leave. And then we have this scene where, for no reason, the old man's dog runs into a cornfield and someone sneaks into the gas station. And he's looking for the dog, and then he's looking for whoever snuck in, and he gives up. And then he goes under the hood of the truck and that he's been working on, and he finds his dog's bandana, like, bloody on the, like, motor of the truck. And he goes inside, and a bunch of kids are inside, and they kill him. And I don't understand why that happens. Like,
well,
maybe it's just because they wanted to show them killing an adult.
So remember, he's the only
adult.
He's the only one left. And remember later on, then, when Isaac explains to him that because that guy was the proprietor of all the fuel and everything, they still needed to have fuel for their. Because there are these
kids, that's true. They have the fight about that
these
they
kids
were
still live
they
in
were
the town, right?
Fuel.
They still need fuel and they still need things. So
yeah.
That's why they had him around. And he just basically was a pact with the devil almost. He promised to not do anything.
Yeah.
And he kept bringing people. He's steering that couple into the town for them so they can basically sacrifice.
No, he steers
them
the other way.
Well, no, that's right. Yeah, he tries to.
He tells them to go the other way. He tells them to leave.
So yeah, they had some deal, I guess. And he went, I guess he reneged on it or whatever. And they ended him. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's gone. Let's see, Bert and Vicky are trying to get to the next town. Oh, but every time they think they've turned towards the other town, they see another sign saying they're closer to Gatling.
Right.
So finally they get so turned around, they're just like, screw it, and they head for Gatling.
And they're driving through an actual cornfield, and I'm sitting there watching, you're thinking, what are they doing?
They're literally just driving on like a patch of dirt.
I love it.
In a cornfield. It's great.
This isn't even a road. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
They also, like, Bert and Vicky also don't seem to like each other very much. I'm not really sure why they're dating.
You know what, though? I feel like I see that in lots of these movies where some stressful situation happens and then these couples, like, start hating each other or something. I don't know.
But, like, even from the beginning, like, even when it was his birthday, like, they didn't seem like they liked each other much.
I think just bad chemistry on screen is, I don't know.
Maybe that's part of it. They just didn't have great chemistry.
I think so.
You guys, can you tell I don't love this movie? Is it obvious? Just in case you were wondering, I don't love this movie.
Oh, and your favorite part was when she sings the song with the in the hotel room and she hits the radio and she sings that terrible song.
Yeah. No more books, no more school.
No, it's not Alice Cooper, but it's some horrible song.
Yeah, it's some silly song.
If it was School's Out by Alice Cooper, I'd be like, all right, sweet.
No, it was not that. So let's see. So they're heading back for Gatling, and meanwhile, Isaac is like giving the sermon to the kids about the kid who ran away, and that Outlanders are coming amongst them, so they should kill the Outlanders for God.
we'll do the Outlander voice later.
Yeah, we're coming to that. We're coming to the Outlander voice.
Love it.
So Bert and Vicky get into the town, and they're driving through, and like the kids are watching them, all hidden. They don't see anybody. They go into the cafe. They find the payphone. It's dead.
Right. Something's clearly wrong.
They see the kids.
Here.
Yeah, and then they turn around. They see the kids like basically in their car, and they run back out and like chase them away, and go after the kids because Bert wants to find the kids and see if they can help him.
Sure. Yeah.
See if they can help them.
They're trying to figure out. Yeah, they have a dead body. They got to do something.
Yeah, and then so they give up and they decide to leave, I guess. But they see that house on the edge of town, which is Job and Sarah's house, or their parents' house when they were alive. And so they stop there. And Bert just walks right in like he's never heard of trespassing.
Well, remember, though.
I want to use their phone. He just wanders in.
The wife even says to him, like, hey, this is someone's house. And he's like, whatever, I'm going in. Yeah.
And he's like, well, I just want to use their phone. Right. Like, he's just like, literally like, meh, whatever.
Don't care.
I'm a doctor, eight years of college and medical school, and, you know, I just, whatever, I'm going to go in these people's house without even knocking or trying to call out.
You know what, though, at this point, you'd start to realize, though, you haven't found anybody. I'd wonder, like, does anybody live here? Screw it. I'm going in.
Dude, I would be, like, in the car driving through the main road and seeing nothing and just like drive on through the other side. I would be like, nope, there's nothing here, we're going to the next town. I'm done.
I'm done, this
is a ghost town.
I would have to probably agree with you, but if I was in this situation, I don't know, it certainly seems like somewhere you'd keep driving.
I'm pretty sure I would just be like, nope,
This place is scary.
That's a big no from me.
Right.
So Biggie wants to leave, but then they hear something upstairs. And so Bert goes to investigate and they find Sarah. And they can't get a lick of sense out of her. At least nothing that makes sense to them. Like things she's saying, we know what she's talking about, but it makes no sense to them. Because she's talking about Isaac and the kids and
they're in the cornfield.
And the adults are in the cornfield, and but they're not working.
Right.
He goes behind, whatever. She's confusing them. So Bert leaves to go find the town hall or like any adult, I guess. And yeah. Vicky stays to talk to Sarah. And meanwhile, like, so Bert's down there like wandering around town. And some of the kids like are stalking him. And then some of the kids are like sneaking into Job and Sarah's house. Right. And Sarah draws a picture for Vicky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Vicky sees it. We don't see it yet, but Vicky's like a little bit weirded out.
No, yeah. She's looking. She's like, well, what is this? Oh, it's you. And she's like, what is this? And
she's like, something's
wrong with this picture. Right.
And so Vicky hears a noise and she goes to see who's downstairs. And it's Malachi, the unfortunate redheaded teen. And he and his crew grab her, and then we see the picture Sarah drew on the floor, and it shows them dragging her into the cornfield.
Yep.
So we know what's going to happen to her. The kids put Vicky on a crucifix.
Made of corn.
And they've already got the blue man.
Blue man.
Up on a crucifix. Who's a dead cop.
Police officer, that's right.
But this blue is what man. I love, too. Blue man. So are you telling me that these kids who until very recently lived in a normal town don't know what to call a police officer, so they call him the blue man?
Maybe he who walks behind the rose tells them that that's what you're supposed to call him. I don't know.
Doesn't make sense. I thought that was silly. I was like, why don't they just call him the cop or something? Like they know what he is.
It's got to be some biblical thing. I don't know.
I guess it is. It's got to be. So they put Vicky up on the crucifix. Malachi and Isaac have their first argument. Blah, blah, blah. They fight.
I will give his word. I will give his will.
Yeah. Right. There we go. Matt knows it. So Isaac wins because, of course, he's the leader. So he wins the fight. And Bert then, Bert, I guess he goes back, right? And he finds Sarah in the thing, and so he goes to look for Vicky in the cornfield.
I feel like that's when we see that picture she drew, when he finds whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, whichever. We see it and he's like, oh crap, I gotta go find her. And so he goes to the cornfield to find her. And he ends up stumbling into this church where some of the kids are holding this ritual.
Weird.
And there's this girl leading the rite, and they're about to kill this kid who's just turned 19.
Right. So when they turn 19, they're supposed to kill themselves or die or something. Right.
Yeah. And so the girl is leading the rite, and like he like comes in and whatever, disrupts the whole thing. And somehow the girl manages to stab Bert because
I don't know,
like he's a grown ass man and she's a little like 13-year-old girl. She's probably older than that, but she's like a kid, and she manages to stab him.
She does.
And he runs away with a knife in his chest. But he pulls it out, so now he has a knife.
Yeah.
Now we come to when the kids are all after Bert, and they are shouting. Take it away, Matt.
Oh, is this the part where?
This is your big moment.
Is this where they're dragging him into like the town square, and Malachi has the has her like on his arm and they're looking for
him? No. This is when they are first shouting, Outlander!
Okay, I thought that was the part, though, that they're yelling at him, but there's the great part
that's later.
That I love.
That's the whole later part.
Okay, because
so they're yelling Outlander at him.
Right.
Which Matt loves.
The line that I like is the scene that's later on, so we'll get there.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, he's referred to as the Outlander, right.
Yes.
Or the Interloper.
So Malachi almost gets him, and then Job pops out and he takes Bert to hide in a cellar with him and Sarah.
And
so
I love what they talk about, why the parents built what they built the cellar for. Communists!
They built it for the communists, to hide out from the communists.
I love it. It is 1984. This movie was made, so.
Yeah, so they've basically got a little like air raid shelter, like, in the back of their
food,
of their cellar.
They got everything in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so they patch him up with his little, like, wound on his chest from the knife. And so they, like, they patch him up, and yeah. So that's pretty good for him. And then we have another fight with Isaac and Malachi.
Yes,
they're fighting again.
They do fight a lot.
But this time Malachi wins. And everybody listens to him this time when he tells them to put Isaac on the crucifix.
Yeah,
because he's tired
of
take
his...
Vicky back down so he can use her as bait
That's
for Bert.
Exactly right. He's tired of Isaac's bull crap, and he says, I'm taking over.
Yep. And so...
religious fervor.
They are taking her out, and meanwhile, Job and Sarah are taking Bert to the barn that overlooks the clearing in the cornfield.
That's right.
And the kids are getting ready to send the 19-year-old... the kid who just turned 19 to be with he who walks behind the corn.
He who walks behind the rose.
He who walks behind the rose, pardon me. See, see, you can tell who likes this movie this movie better. He who walks behind the rose. And Isaac's going to join him. He's going to go with him. So basically they're going to kill Isaac or have he who walks behind the rose take him or something.
Right.
Mind you, up until this point, guys, pretty much... like nothing has really happened that's pretty much nothing has really happened that's like supernatural.
Not really.
Like there's been a couple times where it looks like the corn parts for somebody to move through it, but it's
right.
nothing like really thing.
Right.
Really
nothing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so actually I think it was right before this where he goes to the barn and the clearing where we actually hear where they've actually got Vicky out to use her as bait for Bert because he can't hear them.
That's right. Yeah, because he's in the fallout shelter when they're...
Yeah, because he's still in the fallout
yes.
shelter.
That's right.
So then he comes out and he goes to the clearing. And I love this. Like, they show him the clearing from the barn and he's going to go out and they're like, okay, here's where you go. And then all of a sudden he's sneaking up in the clearing and it suddenly goes from day to night like that.
Did it really?
Like in a heartbeat, it went from day to like fully dark night. And Bert is sneaking up on the clearing and he who walks behind the rose is coming for the 19-year-old. And now it's starting to seem like, oh crap, he might actually be real. Like
mm-hmm.
this might be a real bad thing. And then Isaac is engulfed by yellow.
An entity,
and,
a force.
And red.
A force, if you will.
It's yellow and red scribbles, guys.
He's
engulfed.
The special effects are god awful.
He is engulfed by yellow and red scribbles.
It's terrible, yeah. The special effects
which I guess is he who walks behind the rose.
Yeah, not good.
So Bert takes the chance of the distraction to run out, and he beats the kids back, and then he lectures them.
He sure does.
About religion and that this religion, if it told them to kill their parents, then it's not a good religion. And
that's right.
Yeah. So he lectures them until Malachi tackles him.
Yep.
And then he beats the crap out of Malachi, which why couldn't he not do this to the little girl?
Hmm.
I don't know. But he can do it to Malachi, who's
right.
bigger and scarier
that's right.
than the little girl. So he beats him up. He walks off. This time the kids don't listen to Malachi anymore when they tell him to stop Bert.
Yeah.
So
right.
Bert just stalks off. And then shit goes really haywire. And Isaac comes back all screwed up. Now that was actually pretty decent makeup.
Yeah, that was good, right? Yeah.
That effects makeup was pretty
that
good.
That was good.
And he says, he wants you too, Malachi.
Yeah. And then, of course, Malachi was like, he's going to piss his pants. He's so scared.
Yeah, and Malachi's like, oh, shit.
Right.
And the wind goes all crazy. And, like, Bert and Vicky hide in the barn with a bunch of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about, like, they're like, has anyone, like, can anyone stop this? Has anyone ever tried? And they say, well, the blue man tried. And so they one of the kids has the passage from the Bible,
right.
the page that the police officer read a passage from. When he stood up to he who walks behind the rose.
Tried to.
And then finally, Vicky realizes that lake of fire in the passage means he was trying to burn the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bert takes a gas line out to the field and like the corn traps him and Job has to come out and pull it off him. And so there's more supernatural for
right.
you.
That's right.
And he gets the line to like the sprayer that normally sprays the water out over the corn.
He hooks it up into the irrigation system, right.
Yeah, and so he hooks it up and he starts it so that it sprays gasoline on the corn instead of water. And then he throws Molotov cocktail, and I love it. He misses.
Yeah. He sure does.
He misses, so Job like runs to go get it. He's like, no, Job.
Right.
And then he brings it back, and he's like, throw it right this time.
Yeah, do it right. Exactly. And he just heaves it in
So he does. This time he throws it right. The field lights up.
Oh, yeah.
And Bert and Job run back to the barn as the whole field explodes, and the evil thing goes up with it.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I look for this, guys. When the evil thing goes up in a big cloud of smoke, there was a moment where I swear to God I saw the Grinch's face.
Ooh.
Not just a face.
Could be.
It was the Grinch.
I like that. Okay.
I saw the Grinch in there.
Google search for Grinch in Children of the Corn.
Maybe it's just me, but there is a face in it, and it looked like the Grinch to me.
That's awesome. I'll go back and look at it.
Yeah, totally looked like hilarious. The Grinch to me.
I love it.
So then Bert, Vicky, they take Job and Sarah back to their car. It's completely trashed, so they have to walk to the next town. But the girl who had been running the ritual earlier tries to attack them, and I love it.
Yep.
Vicky just slams the car door in her face, knocks her out cold.
That's right.
And they set off to walk to the next town. They set off to walk to the next town. End.
Isn't there some cheesy line at the very end, too, where she says something? I don't remember. But
I don't remember a cheesy line, but I also, by that point, was like, was just ready. I was done.
Done.
I was done. So, yeah. Okay, so tell me about the two.
It has, of course, the end written title at the end, of course, which is always
good.
That's
true. It does write the end.
I like that.
It's good to let people know.
Yes, we are done here. We're finished.
It was really good. I felt good knowing that it was the end.
I know that was your favorite part.
I was glad to see that.
I know it was.
So tell me now.
Okay, tell you now.
Why did it seem like there were two different storylines and two different points of view that didn't really sync up?
All right, so this is going to be very brief because I'm not going to ruin the short story, but basically that part about the kids and their life is not in that short story. That's for the movie. So it's two different, it's stupid. They took stuff that wasn't there, tried to incorporate it, and it didn't work. I mean, that's basically as simple as I can tell you without ruining anything.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's just happened. What that is. So the short story, right, this is based on is very good. It was published originally, I think, in Hustler or Playboy. It was in like a porn magazine, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
It's good. Now, it's very different. It's more Stephen King. I'm not gonna tell you what happens. I think that he tried writing a screenplay for this. It didn't work out. I think he had some beef with one of the producers of the movie, maybe. So now remember, this went on to spawn like 11,000 sequels. I mean, there's even, I think, one called like Children of the Corn 666, which is, I think, the sixth installment, and they actually called it 666, which is crazy.
Oh, Lord.
They're all very bad. Sci-Fi, about 10 or 12 years ago, tried to make their own movies. They tried to be their own production company and make their own movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they made one. They made a Children of the Corn, and it is pretty much from the short story, but it still sucks.
Okay,
it's just not a well done movie, but it's faithful to the book, which I think if you read the book, I keep saying, but it's a short story. So if you know the story, you'll like that better. So, but see, now the thing you're forgetting the great part of it, which is the Outlander, which is the one line where he finally has Linda Hamilton, and he's walking through the town square, and he's yelling, "Outlander! We have your woman, Outlander. She still lives."
Yeah, she still lives.
And then he's got her, and he says, "Night is coming. Night is his time." It's so great.
It's so cheesy, you guys.
So this is the first movie.
Maybe
I think,
okay. So maybe if I'd seen this as a younger, like as a kid or
maybe.
A teenager,
I know I did,
like maybe
so.
I would have liked yeah. it. But I think seeing it for the this was guys, this was the first time I've seen this movie.
Outlander.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So seeing this for the first time as a grown ass woman.
Grown ass woman.
I am a grown ass woman, okay? And I did not find this
girl,
movie
you grown.
Scary.
Right.
Or particularly good.
All right, so you know what? I will play on the other side of it, and I will. So okay, I don't love it, but you know what? I enjoy it. I like the short story. I think it's my feeling of it is I think it's a really interesting idea. Right? Think about a town mm-hmm. somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the heartland where these kids are possessed by some crazy cult. And they kill all the adults, and they have their own town. That's a pretty wild imagination. I mean, that's very Stephen King-like, and I think that's a really interesting. The information and the story are there. The execution was bad. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I think that is the problem.
I think the budget was not there. I think they had some production problems. I think there were just some issues. So
I think maybe that they... I wonder if they added that voiceover later or something, that like could, when they realized that they didn't have enough.
You know what? That's a movie
where... You know, they
where...
finished shooting and we're like trying to edit and we're like, shit, this doesn't make sense or right. it's not long enough or something.
Right. Well, and that's what's interesting though is, you know, you talk about the story is there, but then Sci-Fi tried to do it and they didn't do a good job either. So now you've got two versions of this that really aren't good. So
see, and I feel like, and I haven't read the book, so or the excuse me, the short story, right. but I feel like maybe it's possible that the idea is there,
yeah.
but that the idea is not a really long story.
No,
it's idea.
It's you're right. You have to add things to it. You have to flesh it out, like, and make it longer for a film. You do. You absolutely do.
Yeah, an idea does not make a movie.
No.
You have to make a story out of that idea. And if it's just like
what you
if it's
done,
just like oh well,
you know what?
Wouldn't it be weird wouldn't it be scary if this thing happened?
Right. Well,
and then you just show the thing happening.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And that's why
that's not
I would have no problem someone taking it on, trying it again, maybe the third time's the charm, and maybe you knock it out this time. Or you do something, well, this wouldn't make, no one does this anymore, because no one watches TV anymore. But you do a two-night miniseries, and you do it in like 4 hours, and each night is 2 hours, and you
God,
knock
you
it
think
out.
It needs 4 hours?
I think that would be, I think it'd be fine. Maybe you make it 3 hours, maybe
oh
just
my
two.
God, I don't even think there was enough
maybe
there for
two.
An hour and a half.
It could be. You could make it 2 hours. You could do an hour or 9 or
think
something
maybe,
like that.
I think maybe if you took a bunch of Stephen King short stories and made a series where each one was an hour episode.
So they did that with, oh gosh, what was, there's a collection he did, and they did that on TBS or TNT like 15 years ago. They did a bunch of his movies
okay.
or a bunch of his books, and they made hour-long episodes about it. It was very cool. So there
yeah,
you go. You
I
could,
think,
you could
at,
do something
I
like
think
that.
At the most... This deserved an hour.
So yeah, so maybe you are right that maybe the timing is not or the timing. Maybe there's not enough content to make this into a well, you know, 2 hour movie. So yeah, maybe.
Well, or you would need to actually add some content, not just
stuff.
Some
that's right.
scenes.
That's right. You do, and that's I mean any movie is gonna steal or borrow or cut out or whatever. So you have to do that. But I mean, I like the idea, and then I think part of the story they're trying to tell. Is I guess they're trying to talk about, you know, crazy cults. I mean, look at like Jim Jones and David Koresh stuff like that. I guess they're trying to maybe make something like that. I suppose I don't know, but
they're making fun of religion altogether.
Yeah, that too. Exactly. So I think that's interesting too. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like the story idea. I just execution just wasn't there. What I do love is that I think this is the first movie we've talked about so far that I can mention. That in my many trips to Monster Mania, I have a really cool picture on my wall of the Children of the Corn poster, and it's signed by Courtney Gaines, who's Malachi, and the guy who played Isaac. I had them both sign my poster
now,
for me.
Malachi, that kid's been in some other stuff.
Courtney Gaines, yep, he was in Rob Zombie's Halloween for sure. He's been in other stuff. Yeah, he's somewhat known. The funny story for him, of course, is I kind of feel bad for him because anytime anyone sees him anywhere, of course,
do they yell Outlander?
Outlander!
Oh, poor thing. That's so what? Jarring, too. But like, he, I wouldn't want people to scream at me.
He knows it, though, and I think he kind of just rolls with it. So, you know what,
though? You'd have to. You don't really have much choice.
You know what? The movie's a cult classic now, and it's totally iconic, though. It really is. And you know what? I think it kind of ruined cornfields for everybody, you know? I mean, Jaws ruined the ocean. Blair Witch Project ruined the woods. And I think Children of the Corn ruined corn.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, when I drive...
I'll go in cornfields. I don't have a concern about it.
I don't know. I think I have to think twice about it. But
it didn't scare me enough to keep me away from cornfields. I mean, not that I have much reason to go in a cornfield to begin with, but...
Well, they're fun for, corn mazes for Halloween, like haunted
things. Oh, that's true.
So I think they shot this in some little nowhere town in Iowa, not Nebraska, even though the town is Gatlin, Nebraska, but I think they did Iowa. So I would like to visit this town one day.
Iowa would make sense,
too. And I'm going to go stand in that middle of that town square and just yell, "Outlander!" as loud as I can.
Are you going to find a woman to grab?
Sure. Why not? Yeah.
Just maybe give her a warning first so you don't get the cops called on you.
Oh, you mean the blue man? They can't do anything because the blue man's crucified up in the cornfield.
The blue man. The blue man's out in the cornfield,
I ain't gotta worry
guys.
About the blue man. Forget that.
Blue man. You know,
like I said, cool idea, cool content, bad execution. Maybe could be done again. Good short story. Read a short story. Of it. I like that part of it. Like I said,
I need to read
iconic.
The short story. I have that collection. Night Shift, I believe, is the collection.
Ooh,
that's
in. A good one too.
So I have that collection. I recently got it, but I haven't read the story yet.
They must have done something because it made like a billion sequels. So clearly it caught on with somebody or something. I don't know. I mean
people love People love Stephen King.
I am a huge, huge fan of him. Doesn't mean I like her. I mean, case in point, you know, look at the fact that, you know, his most famous film adaptation is The Shining, correct? And it's
The
really,
Shining and Carrie.
Sure. And The Shining is really not much like his book, and he hates Stanley Kubrick's version. So, you know, take that to mean whatever you want, so.
I like the movie better.
The book
was pretty good, but I really love the movie, The Shining.
Oh, the movie's fantastic. And one day we shall discuss. One day, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, we're going to have to do The Shining. We're going to have to do Carrie at some point.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to do The Mist.
The Mist is excellent.
We're going to have to do The Mist.
Excellent movie, excellent book. Yes. Yes. One great part I love that pop culture reference is there's that Simpsons episode where they're going to church and they're all looking for the parents, I guess, and they start ringing the bell and they start snatching people up, snatching the kids up. And it's kind of a mix. Really, it's like Planet of the Apes, I guess, where they're snatching people up in the nets. But they're also echoing a little Children of the Corn scene right there, too, which I love. So thank you, Simpsons, for your pop culture reference to it, too. Yeah, there's much worse movies out there, but
now I'm just sitting here wishing that we had done Carrie, or The Shining, or The Mist instead of Children of the Corn.
Oh, we will do all of these at some point.
Now I'm like, oh, I wish we'd done the good Stephen King movies.
Oh,
that would have been nice.
We're gonna get to those. Don't you worry.
Don't hate me, friends and our five listeners. Don't hate me just because I don't like this movie. It's not for me.
It is not going to win an Academy Award, that's for sure.
I do not think any less of you, Matt, for liking it.
Bullshit. Hey, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
No, I definitely can see how, especially if you saw it when you were younger, how you could enjoy it. Especially like if you're younger and you identify with the kids, it would feel really kind of cool and subversive and you know, naughty, but like
right.
Yeah, I can see how that would like sort of be awesome when you were like a teenager or like a young teen and you would be like, "Yeah, the kids." Man,
right.
Life would be so much better without the adults.
Yeah, right. Let's
like,
make our own town. Right, exactly.
I can actually sort of see
that's funny.
Like loving it if you saw it when you were in those like years.
Sure. Yeah, it is. It's definitely dated, I would say, when you watch it.
It
now.
Is dated. It's quaint.
Yes,
quaint. Is what it is. I think quaint is the word that best describes it.
You know what I do love? I do love watching them drive that old giant Buick, though, the four-door. Remember cars like that? Those were great.
But, you know, I'd say it's not only is it quaint, but it's quaint for other movies I've seen of that time period, but right. It seems especially quaint against movies now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it just seems...
It almost seems like it fits, like, that time frame and, like, the world they're trying to portray, too, right? Like, it's just kind of off. It's not quite modern, or almost. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Yeah. Right. Although I don't feel like they necessarily did that on purpose.
No. I think that was,
I don't
get
the impression they did that on purpose.
No, I think they had some budget issues and certain things that made it...
Yeah.
That made it not so hot.
Yeah, I think so.
So basically, what you're telling us now is you're going to go out this weekend and you're going to watch all the sequels. Am I understanding that correctly?
Oh, immediately. I mean, I'm so excited.
I know you are.
I'm not even going to sleep. I'm going to go watch them all right now as soon as we finish this podcast recording.
Well, you'll be the first of us because I haven't seen any of the sequels. I've had no interest in them either.
No, I have no interest in the sequels. Unless we have to do them for the show. If we do them for the show, I will buck up and be a good little girl and do our sequels.
You might get a call to action, straight up challenge from a listener saying, you know what? I want you to watch every sequel and talk about all
Bring
of them
Bring it on,
individually.
Listeners. Bring it on. If somebody emails, and asks me to watch every sequel.
Oh, man.
I may just do it just to say.
I'll do it with you.
A listener asked me and I did it.
I will gladly take part.
All right. You heard it here, listeners. We are accepting your challenge.
Right. The last reference,
I
think.
You have to issue the challenge, though. We're not accepting it unless somebody issues it.
We're not making it up. I think the last reference I had, I think also Method Man in one of his songs referenced Children of the Corn also. So.
All right. There we go.
There's your two references.
And on that note.
Yes.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review us. Which clearly you do, or you wouldn't be here at this point. We're pretty new. You probably know us. You probably know us, right? Let's be real, and have been listening because we begged you. So if you've made it past the first couple episodes, you must enjoy it. So please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever the heck you're listening, so more people can find us who don't know us. Maybe that would be cool. Don't forget to send us your movie suggestions, your thoughts on movies we've watched so far, your challenges to us to watch all the rest of the Children of the Corn movies. You can email us with those at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. All right. We are signing off on this one, you guys. See ya.
All right. Adios. Stay connected with The Scary Movie Project. Visit our website, thescarymovieproject.com, at The Scary Movie Project on Instagram and Facebook, and email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.